Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another reality show hosted by Golden Hawk. Join Golden Hawk as she travels down the rabbit hole exploring many of life's mysteries and adventures. Because here at another reality show, we're not afraid to let our imagination soar and our intuition run wild. So relax, get comfortable, because for the next 2 hours, we're inviting you to open your heart, spread your wings, and fly. And now, here's Golden Hawk.
Hello! Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me. And as that nice gentleman just said, I am Golden Hawk, the host of another reality show. And I'm very excited. Today we have a great show planned. The divine Reverend Anthony Farmer is scheduled to be here, and God bless Anthony. Anthony chronically shows up 2, 3, 4 minutes after the show is started. I love him. Because I love him, it's all good. So you're going to just have to hear me babble until Anthony gets here. So let's see. Well, what's today's date? Today's date is March 23rd. Oh, I know what I would like to talk to you guys all about. You know, there's some very interesting stuff going on. Shucks. You think, Goldie? Yeah, I do think. Some very interesting things going on right now. There is a, with earthquakes, the earth, there's this theory going around on many of, like I listen to a channel on YouTube called Mr. Comet Watch, and a lot of the people who are following sunspots and earthquakes and, you know, they're following what's going on in the sky, they're following what's going on the planet from an ecological point of view. And there's a theory going on called the 188-day theory, which I believe the 188th day actually was yesterday, that every 188 days, there's some major earthquake situations going on the planet. Now, I know there is definitely earthquakes going on. There was some big ones in Mexico. I know Chile is being watched. Alaska had some activity. I just find it kind of interesting because, and if you go to Mr. Comet Watch, if you search him out on YouTube, he actually did a whole video dedicated to, you know, the big earthquakes, Japan. What was the other one? There was another one that happened, I think Haiti. These were all like in 188-day increments. And I found that to be pretty interesting, that it's cyclical. You know, something like this is cyclical. Because me and my friends, when we've been talking a lot at night and stuff, you know, or on the phone, whatever, we've kind of just been taking notice to, you know, the Mayan calendar is really all about, you know, it's a calendar written about cycles. And, somebody's here. Hi, 301, is this Anthony?
Yes, it is.
Hey, love.
How are you?
I'm good. Now that you're here, I'm much better. So I was just talking to the people about how the Mayan calendar as well as, well, just life in general seems to be, like there's this awareness going on, especially in my humble opinion from the natural perspective of cycles. You know, clearly the Mayan calendar, it's a calendar written about cycles. And, of course, with the Mayan calendar ending on December 21st, 2012, you know, it's the end of a cycle. And yet, you know, there seems to be, you know, an apprehension of what it would mean to end a cycle, especially one potentially that has galactic proportions as well as solar, solar system proportions. And yet, you know, the microcosm and the macrocosm, because I was speaking that there's a theory going around on the people on YouTube and stuff that watch like comet watching and solar flare watching, that every 188 days there's a major earthquake happening to us. And, you know, I'm just kind of, you know, I'm exploring that, you know, the idea of cycles that, you know, like there's actually, you know, cycle. It's, I definitely feel and know that there's more cycles than just the 24-hour cycle and the four-season cycles. But it's interesting how these cycles are affecting, you know, our emotional state of being and our spiritual awareness state of being. What do you think about that, Ant?
Well, one of the reasons I believe that a lot of people have trouble understanding or seeing the world in cycles is because so much of our culture seems to be taught from a perspective that time is linear.
Mm.
You're born, you live, you die, that's the end. And so we have this perspective of there's a beginning, there's an end, and when there's an end, there's nothing else. But from a natural perspective, and a lot, and many, if not all, the indigenous cultures, that perspective is on cycles. There's no real beginning or end. There's only transformations to a different state of consciousness or a different state of being. And so, you know, my understanding is when you see the world, you see the life through a concept of or perspective of cycles, then you don't get caught up in a lot of the drama of, oh, you know, December, what have you, you know, the world is going to end, it's going to split in two, major catastrophes, we're not going to, you just don't have that perspective. Or that
right,
understanding.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it was interesting because earlier today I was in one of what I call my walking conversations, when you're doing what you normally do during the day and all of a sudden you find yourself in conversation with somebody or angel or spirit guide or what have you. And I was, the conversation was on, you know, this is 2012, and a lot of people are concerned about what's going to happen, and they're starting to see global warming, they're starting to see more earthquakes, they're starting to see a lot of these changes in the physical world, and what does that mean? And
right.
I could see one of the elders saying, breathe.
Mm.
No matter what, breathe. If it's raining outside, breathe. If it's snowing outside, breathe. If it's hot, breathe. If it's cold, breathe. Remember to breathe, that life, the essence of life is breathing.
Right on.
And you can get too caught up in trying to anticipate the misunderstanding of the Mayan calendar and some other types of prophecies out there that you forget to breathe.
Yeah, definitely.
Just forget to breathe.
No, right? It's so simple, right? Because, you know, it would appear to me from, like, my senses, from what seems to be speaking to me inside is, it really is, like a couple of weeks ago, me and Janine did a show about, you know, I called it the end of the world show because we came upon some information that essentially was, you know, stating a scenario that it would be the end of the world as we know it. And I'm not afraid to speak on those things. I'm not afraid of that, even in my own personal experience. I'll be honest with you. I think I even have a, you know, my tendencies in who I am being a rebel, from the perspective that I, you know, it seems like such an impossibility from, you know, in my now moment where everything seems to be, you know, what's today's date? I said it earlier, March 23rd. From March 23rd's perspective at, you know, 2:09 in the afternoon, for the potential for this, you know, the world to be completely shaken up in approximately 8 months, from my perspective, fascinates me because it's such an impossibility to the senses. You know, like my belief systems, I'm not afraid of it, but it just seems like from the conditioned point of view, you know, it's like, how could this could not be, you know, it's
right.
Not going to end, you know, and just because of that, I'm intrigued by it. And that's just me, because there's a part of me that I've ventured into many things that kind of, you know, broke the mold of the patterning of my belief system. Things that, you know, like I've gone financially bankrupt. You know, I've done things that have broken the rules. And, you know, I remember when I told my father, it's like, I'll just go bankrupt. You know, he looked at me and went, do you need therapy?
Yeah.
I went, no, Dad, no, I'm really okay not paying the money back. I mean, I don't have it. I'm not paying it back. And it was just something, because, see, money never has ever really held me. I'm not saying I don't enjoy money. I do enjoy money, but it doesn't hold me to, I'll lose sleep over money. I would get sick if I didn't have any. You know what I'm saying? That's just not my world. Where my father, his passion is very much, he's passionate about finances. So I understood where he was coming from. But the reason why I'm saying these things is I really get the sense, and I got it very much from your talk with the elders recently, that you know, your conversation with the elders about change, which, you know, the winds of change too, which is, it seems that it is time on our evolutionary journey, you know, to mature. And it's so funny, because to mature in so many ways really means, you know, kind of bringing back that teenage rebellion, at least for me, in a way that says, you know, oh, looking life, you know, straight in the eye and going, no, we're going to do it different. Like, you know, we're not going to play by the rules that that have been constructed, and whether it be through, you know, the organized religions, through science. You know, it seems like everything kind of puts us in a box of, this is the way life is supposed to be. And when I connect in nature, I'm getting, you know, very much like you said, breathe, live in the moment, and dream the impossible dream, because it seems available now more than ever. And the fact that it is showing up, you know, because I find it interesting now that the world is, you know, it's going through an economic crisis, absolutely. And I can only really focus on America because that's where I live. I would say I know the culture better than I know, like, the Greece culture or Russia's culture. I'm not, you know, I only know that through, you know, what I've heard. I've not walked the soil, so I don't know it. But for me, the economic crisis, you can look at it as an economic crisis, absolutely, and it's a challenge, and it's debilitating. But on the same note, you can look at America's going through a spiritual awakening. You know, like, if you're not running to work for those 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week, you know, maybe you're potentially going to sit in the forest and find a part of you that you haven't spoken to in a very long time. You know, that's certainly available to experience right now as well. You know,
I agree. From my understanding and from what, you know, I am, what's revealed to me and my understanding, it's like what we're going through is an opportunity to see life differently, opportunity for a different experience, opportunity for a different perspective, possibly asking the question, maybe there's more than what I am aware of.
Right.
Maybe there's a different way to see this, a different way to have this, a different way to experience this, a different way to experience myself. And yeah, it's an opportunity that opens up for other possibilities without trying to tell people what those possibilities are, but just being open for different possibilities. But if you're, and when I find myself in a situation where I'm closed to a different way of seeing things and I refuse to change, then it gets painful.
Right on.
But
right
when
on.
I am, you know, when I am open to show me something different, show me what I need to see, guide me on what I need to do next, I'm open to change. I'm open to experiencing it differently. Then it's easier. It's much
right
easier.
On,
much
right
easier.
Yeah.
And I think, and I feel, and at least from my experience and my perspective, we are in a place where it's almost like the universe is offering us an opportunity to be different, to relate different, to relate to each other differently and relate to ourselves differently.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
so for me, when I hear that 2012, you know, we're coming to a point in time where the world as we know it will shift, it's like, yes, and that shift is in our perspective. That shift in how we relate to each other, that shift in how we relate to ourselves, that shift in how we relate to the universe or creation or God or goddess or whatever that is for anybody. But we are opening the doors to more possibilities, infinite possibilities, and not just, you know, knowing it in our heads that there's infinite possibilities, but experiencing it in our whole consciousness. The infinite possibilities. That helps me get through tonight.
Yeah, right on. Do you believe that perspective is related to experience?
Yes. Yes, and
so
I believe because you can have an experience. You can be in a room with five people, and you know there's an experience that goes on, and you talk to each of the five people, and they're going to have possibly a totally different perspective on that experience. But it's based on their paradigm by which they see life. And so, and then when I'm coaching, spiritual life coach from time to time, when I'm talking to people and they will share with me an experience that they have and then their understanding, and then I'm maybe guided to ask them a question, what if what you experienced was this? And sometimes I get a look and I go, I never thought about it that way. And then just slightly shifting your perspective, it opens it up for a whole different experience. And then what they thought was traumatic wasn't necessarily traumatic. What they saw as a breakdown may actually be a breakthrough. And
right.
So it's just shifting that perspective or being open to a different way of seeing things opens the doors for different experiences in my experience and my perception.
No, I agree wholeheartedly. All of my friends, we're all truly acknowledging that it's our perspectives within us that's changing. And
it is. I agree.
Now, I tend to be an analyzer, and I shouldn't say analyzer because it's not about analyzing the data, but like I try to extrapolate because intuitively I know perspective, as you just eloquently shared as well, perspective influences experience. So my next kind of follow through on that thought is the Earth on some level is created through perspective. Like perspective can't be separated. In other words, I believe that weather patterns are very much a influence of consciousness. How do you feel about that statement?
I believe that, and I've read some books and listened to some other people who believe that everything in your world is created by your perception, your perspective, your intention, and your thought. And I agree. Now, sometimes that let go of an old way of thinking, because they may say, well, how is weather pattern? How am I influencing the weather pattern? I don't get that. And so it requires a letting go of an old way of relating to everything, relating to consciousness, relating to the universe, for somebody to really understand that. For me, the understanding of that comes down to we are all connected. We are all connected. We as individuals, we as people, with everything on the earth, everything in the earth, everything in the universe, we are all connected. We are all connected. So my thoughts impact the whole on some level. And just like everyone's thoughts impacts the whole on some level. And it's not just us on the earth that's impacting the whole. It's everything in the whole oneness is impacting it.
Mm.
And that's just my understanding. It's like we're all here. We all are part of this big tapestry called, you know, the universe. And each one of us is a thread within that universe, and so we are part of it. So, of course, we impact it on some level.
Right.
And
right, I agree.
Now, one of the challenges with that, if we realize that we impact the universe, then comes that level of responsibility, and that's what a lot of people don't want.
That's very true. That's part of the maturity.
Thoughts, yes, and my actions and my behavior impact, you know, the reality that we have created. Yes, it does. Well, I don't want to believe that. That can't be true, because then what follows that is this. Now that you know this, now you cannot run from your responsibility.
Mm.
At least that's my opinion.
No, I agree, and. You know, I've never, it's funny because I reference a lot this, you know, rebellion, teenage rebellion part of me. But it's funny because it is being coupled with a maturity in me that is, it's funny because it comes with the awareness of it. You know, like, I really recognize that, I had a major meltdown yesterday. I had drank instant coffee, and I had not drank coffee, let alone instant coffee, in a very long time. And it really just impacted my system it just put me on total, I was on a tilt-a-whirl. I was feeling very uneasy, anxious, jittery, nervous, confused. And it was interesting because I went to the woods, I went to the woods, you know, pleading, please, please, Mother Nature, bring me back to that space of balance, because I was so very uncomfortable. And it was very interesting because, first of all, nature, I mean, I won't say immediately, where I normally can feel it immediately when I walk in balanced. I didn't feel it immediately, but I breathed, I sat down, the sun was, you know, I took off my shirt, I had a bra on, but I took off my shirt and I was basking in the natural energies of today, which I also realize can have the effect of nervousness and jittery and anxiety, because there's, in my humble opinion, there's a frequency at play here that we are ascending, and so what's happening is everything that's been suppressed or oppressed within our beings is being, you know, kind of flushed up to the surface.
Amen.
Yeah, because the conditioning has taught us the way to heal is to suppress. I mean, that is basically where Western medicine has kind of taken us. Hence, there's so many side effects to their medications. Where Earth and nature knows the way to heal is to flush and to flow and to, all right, if something's down there, there's no getting around it. We must feel the experiences that have been pushed down, and once it's felt, then it's released, and then it can be on its journey to transformation. So, but it was so interesting because, you know, a couple of days prior to my wood experience yesterday, I was actually in a space, in a heightened space, where I could literally, with my eyes, my physical eyes, I could see the energetic transfers the trees were giving each other and participated in it, because it was like this grand dance of gratitude. Nature was so grateful for nature. And I became a part of that gratitude. It wasn't, you know, I became part of that oneness. And it's like, it's an interesting thing because the conditioning has us believe, in my opinion, conditioning will make you think responsibility means you have to take care of something else. Almost like I, as a nanny, I've seen it with parents where it's not so much a stewardship. It's more. Listen,
You're
what?
It from my perspective, it's like when we hear you're responsible, you think I'm in charge.
Exactly. Okay, brilliantly stated. And see, that's not what I'm getting from responsibility from the message of nature. Nature doesn't say, quote unquote, in charge. Being responsible is really about...
You do your part, I do my part, we do our part together.
And if you're not doing your part, then that's also divine. You know what I mean? There's a divinity in the timing of... Because I'm not necessarily getting that every single person on the planet is meant to go through this ascension, this cycle. That's not what I'm getting. And for me, like I was talking to what Janine. For me, I want to graduate this cycle. And graduation for me means being responsible for me, being responsible for everything that I put into this experience, because I'm going to receive it back, first of all. That's one of the greatest things responsibility can give us, is it puts us really it puts me smack as responsible for what everything I'm experiencing. No denial necessary. I'm responsible. So if I'm putting in, because it was interesting when I was putting in yesterday the chaoticness from the coffee experience, I could still couple it with, you know, the gratitude of, I mean, how nature just untangled that energetic field and put me back into balance. You know, as opposed to kind of being in that space, you know, running around like a chicken with my head cut off, screaming and yelling at, you know, everything in my wake. You know, it's like in my responsibility to myself, I was like, put yourself in nature. Just
right.
Goldie, get yourself to the woods, because I had to take care of I had a nanny gig yesterday, and I was literally going, I'm afraid to be around the kids. I don't want to chop their head off. I don't want to become, you know, a major bitch. And I'm unstable right now.
Yeah.
So these are all like, they're subtle awarenesses for me. And
mm-hmm. I was with a couple of years ago when I was teaching at InterVision. We taught in teams, and so my co-facilitator, we were preparing for a lecture, and I don't know what the conversation was, but she looked at me and she says, heaven for you is when you go out in nature. And I went, yes. When I go out in nature, if I'm feeling off balance, I begin to feel balanced. If I'm feeling overstimulated, I begin to feel, you know, back in sort of a right vibration for me. And if I'm feeling understimulated, then being in nature, again, brings me into that perfect balance, that perfect vibration, that perfect energetic flow for me. And it's like, yeah, that's heaven for me.
Right on.
And I can feel it sometimes when I'm like, okay, I got to get out and hug a tree. I got to go on the ground. I got to walk on the ground because I'm feeling frazzled, as I call it.
Yeah.
So I got to get out here and hug a tree. And tree laugh at me for saying, what took you so long?
Oh,
you know,
right
we're out
on.
Here. We can
They're
handle
not going
that
anywhere.
Why do you think you got to handle it by yourself? You're not Superman, blah, 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 blah. And then when you go out there, you talk to a tree and you kind of share with a tree or nature or spirit out in the woods or whatever, and you start talking about what's going on in your world and your problems and this, that, and the other. And if you listen, at least this is my experience, when I listen, I hear this laughter, and they're like, Drama. You people love drama.
Yeah. No, and I admit, I'm the first one to admit, I do understand drama is, it's an addiction. I am addicted to drama. I am. But see, the wonderful the wonderful essence of balance is nothing needs to be annihilated. Everything has value.
Yes.
That's a really, really important, subtle aspect to everything that's coming at us right now so intensely, you know, because, you know, there's a lot of people that are like, you know, you got to eliminate the ego, which is, I understand, it is my ego that is attracted to the drama, and I don't subscribe to that belief. You know, I'm like, you know, I can give my ego some drama. And it's so funny because I'll know when I've swung too far, similar to, you know, having the coffee yesterday. I had clearly swung too far, and it was so funny. There was no drama with anything else other than myself.
Right.
But it was enough to really put me on tilt. Like, I mean, I've had fights with my boyfriend where, like, a couple of weeks ago, we were getting bombed with solar flares, like 5 days in a row. We were getting X classes and M classes and filaments and... And I mean, I was feeling it inside me as, like swirling dervas were in my being, and it felt like this pressure was building up because he just looked at me at one point. He goes, "Are you trying to start an argument with me?" And you know, without hesitating, I went, "Yes, I am." And as soon as the words came out of my mouth, I went, "I need to get to the woods." Like, I need to go to the woods, because it's one thing to have an argument and it's another thing to be intentionally trying to start one. I mean, I don't want to ever intentionally start an argument. I'll have an argument if I, you know, something's going on and I disagree with or whatever. But I really, you know, understood that at that moment, okay, I've swung into a out of balance space, and I'm like, and the beautiful part, like you, Anthony, I talk about this all the time because I think it's worthy of talking about all the time. Nature is the panacea for all of it, whether it's the woods or the beach or the mountains, or the woods are just the panacea for the state of balance, that it's not about eliminating the ego, but it's about kind of putting it in check because if we look around, I think the state of imbalance on the planet is because so many people have kind of disassociated themselves with nature. Like, I mean, there's a woman, Jennifer Adell, who does these animal readings, animal tarot readings on the show.
Oh, okay.
And she said to me, and this really, I can't believe in 2012 this is still a truth, but she said that there are people that get upset if she equates them in the animal kingdom.
Yeah.
You know, I
do divination readings too, and from time to time I use an animal wisdom deck, and some people don't appreciate that. And
really?
If a card comes up, and those who are open to it, if a card comes up and an animal is not something powerful and ferocious like a bear or eagle or lion,
right,
like a deer or mouse or chicken, they are put off by it. And it's like,
we have,
over the course of time, we've separated ourselves from nature, and we don't see the beauty in nature. And for me, the clincher is, we don't see God or the universe or the creator or however you relate to that. We don't see it in nature anymore. And it's like, you really want to experience God and that oneness with each, go out in nature and sit.
Yeah.
And sit. And for those who want a sacred text, take your Bible and go out and read your Bible in nature.
There you go.
Opens up
a
whole new experience.
Yeah.
But I agree with
you.
You mentioned something earlier about there's a lot of people who talk about death of the ego. And I'm like, no. Just just take the ego, just tell the ego you can no longer drive the car. We'll put
exactly.
you in the back.
Exactly.
We'll strap you in a child protective seat. You can fuss from back there, but the adult has to drive the car.
Right, right.
Ego, get in the back seat. Fear,
doubt.
You can drive. We're going to put you on the top, you know. Unworthy, we'll put you in the trunk. That's not to say we won't deny you, but we don't want to hear you all the time while you're driving the car.
I love it. Yes, all right. Everybody, yes, you've heard it here first. We are putting unworthy in the trunk this year. Yes, indeed. No, well, and it's so much, you know, because, see, this is one of the things where I think, for me, unworthy tends to be packaged with the whole, I'm putting my fingers up like in quotes, the whole, quote, good girl, good boy syndrome.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's that polar opposite of, oh, I did something bad, I'm not worthy, or I didn't follow the rules. And I'm telling you, if we remember back, I mean, I know I have some teenagers who actually listen to this show, so I'm not talking about the teenagers, but, you know, for those of us who are in our 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s, if we remember when we were a teenager, unworthy wasn't even a factor. It was really about, you know, kind of pushing the envelope in. Who are we? Let's test our boundaries. We certainly go through it when we're toddlers and we're first literally coming to the perspective that you're not attached to your mom. That is something that's an actually developmental space we go through as a child, and we go through it again in puberty. When we go through that whole idea where, you know, our parents don't know anything and we know it all. And then there's a third time we go through that, and that is what most people call the midlife crisis. But it's like the conditioning has beaten us down where we don't have that fire still in us that's willing to push the boundaries. You know, it seems after, you know, after that ground from that point of from the teenage years until the mid-40s, whatever we've been through, you know, we don't cycle again, and yet our souls do. The soul, because my humble opinion, the midlife crisis is just another name for a soul infusion. The soul coming in, going, come on, let's stir up the pot. Let's create a little, you know, a little chaos in our lives because something.
We've become too complacent. We've become too conformed. We've become boring. Our spirits are bored. And then we go to the extreme, you know, and do some of these things that are associated with the midlife crisis, and we still don't connect to the spirit. We still don't connect to our souls to find out what's really going on. We still don't connect to the fire in our belly.
Mm.
And so then we end up overcompensating, but we still never get back to your spirit is crying out for something.
Yeah.
And then listen to your spirit. There's a dream. I have a friend of mine, and we were in a meeting on Saturday, and I was listening to him talk, and what came to me was, you have a dream that has been pushed down so far into your consciousness that you have almost disconnected yourself from your own dream.
Mm.
And what you have proceeded to do is support somebody else in their dream, doing what you think you are supposed to do to be a good husband, a good father, a good grandfather, a good, you know, American citizen, which is fine. But the price that you're paying is there's a dream inside your spirit that you have pushed down so far that you're almost disconnected from it.
Mm.
And from a distance, I was just watching him. And so it launched in me an opportunity to create a workshop on Dare to Dream.
Nice.
How many of us have a dream deep in our spirits that we have you know, talked ourselves out of, allowed society to talk us out of, allowed conditioning to talk ourselves out of, or how many of us don't even have a dream anymore because we don't think we can have one.
Yeah, right on. Right on.
The dare to dream. Anyway.
I feel it. I can feel the energy in that, and I think that I think this country has fallen into the illusion,
yes,
and out of the dream.
Yes.
You know, and it's that's where the illusion is, where the ego is driving, the
yes,
dream
yes,
is where the soul is driving. And it's a subtle, you know, it takes awareness, it takes self-responsibility, it takes the desire to be honest with oneself. And these are all, ironically, these are all coming into being very, you know, like the powerful cards,
yes,
of just getting through daily business today, you know, daily life, whether you have a job or not. You know, the willingness to look at your life honestly.
Yes.
Denial is at an all-time high, you know, with the people that are still, like, you know, not wanting to look at the changes going on, you know, not wanting to look at it, at least from a perspective of the soul, as opposed to, you know, well the answer is to, you know, another, you know, this election, you know, the election this year in America will change this. It's like, come, I mean, really? Really? We've had 200 years. How many times do, you know, because I was a big Obama fan. I really was. And, you know, at this point, it's like, it's not government. Government will not be the answer for a spiritual crisis, because that's not where it lies. That we're still giving our power away to the government. That's why it's not the government that will be, you know, sacred government, self-governing.
Yes.
But the, you know, the powers that be, in the Democrats and the Republicans, oh, please, we don't need Hillary to be president because she's a female, you know, to make the world better. It's just not going to happen.
Exactly.
You know.
And I agree with you. A lot of people, and that's where the personal responsibility and ownership come in. And people, you know, we want to elect someone such that they will go out and make it right and make it better. And it's like, no, that paradigm is shifting.
Yeah.
And so, you know, someone comes along and you think, oh, this is someone new. They're saying something different. They're going to make it better. And they get in there and, you know, the presidency, the job is, part of it is the personality of the person, and part of it is just the nature of the system that we have. And so now people, you know, many people are disillusioned with Obama. And I tell folks all the time, I say that I think he had to be in there such that we get to a place where we realize it's not about electing someone who's going to do my work.
Exactly.
I have to my work. So let me roll up my shirt sleeves. Let me put on, you know, whatever gear I need to, and let me do my work, my inner work. You know, and it takes courage. It takes personal responsibility. It takes realizing that, you know, maybe I need to see the world differently. I need to see myself differently. Maybe what I thought was important is no longer important, and what I didn't even consider was important is important.
Yeah.
And
that just
looks like chaos. It just looks, for me, it looks like chaos. It doesn't feel good when I'm going through it. It has me up at 2 in the morning having conversations with myself that I didn't think I was having. And then it has me going, okay, universe, okay, I have flipped this pancake over in the pan over and over and over, and I can't make heads nor tails of it. You take over and you tell me what I need. You point me in the direction. You reveal to me what I need. I'll still have to cook my dinner, but I need some help.
Yeah.
I need some guidance.
Yeah.
And in the universe to say, turn the stove down, you got the fire too high. I go, oh, it was that simple. Yes.
Okay, like the breathing, too. I mean, breathing is huge. But right on, babe. Right on. See, and that's, see, this is why I say, you know, I told Janine recently, you know, after we had the, you know, the end of the world show, not going to, you know, I was like, you know, it's probably not in our best interest to be speaking end of the world shows, you know, clearly stay present, but I'll be honest with you. I keep getting drawn to it in the sense of, I will be honest with you, the world we live in, I'm done with it. I really am done with the unconsciousness. And I'm not done with the unconsciousness from the outside point of view. In other words, I'm not saying I'm going to walk up to my neighbor, you know, we have a groundhog here at Scott's house.
Uh-huh.
And the neighbor goes, are you going to let it to Scott? He goes, are you going to let the groundhog be? And Scott goes, yeah. And he goes, do you mind if I shoot it? And Scott goes, you better not shoot it while it's on my property. You know, if he goes on your property, you can do whatever you want to do, but do not shoot it on my property. And, you know, I was really grateful to Scott for saying that because, I mean, I'm an animal lover. I believe everything is totem energy. And, I mean, I'm completely opposite. Groundhogs, chickens, frogs, turtles, mice, all the, you know, the little beings carry such strong energy for what we need to thrive in today's frequencies. So, you know, I'm not going to go over there and, you know, and read them the riot act of, you know, like, are you kidding me? You know, like, you know, you don't understand the whole ecosystem and how everything works and, you know, blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to do that. But I am going to work on my own awareness, and when I sit outside in the backyard, I mean, it is absolutely, you know, my intent to radiate that awareness to anyone and everyone who's got, you know, the smallest crack in their belief system open to going through what you just described, the real chaos, the real dark night of the soul.
Ooh, yeah.
in order to get to the space that is the light shining from within and nothing. You know, my goal is to live on a planet or live in a frequency or a dimension where nothing's feeding on anything anymore. You know, not just me not feeding on animals and plants, but also animals not feeding on plants and plants not feeding on, you know, the sun. Meaning, I've basically been told the next level that we have the potential to graduate to is we would all radiate a light from within that would completely sustain ourselves constantly. You know, it is the state of being in the fifth dimension that everything radiates from its. In other words, there's that in that land or in that dimension, there's no shadows because shadow is something that says it's dense. You know, it's not radiating light. In the fifth dimension, everything radiates light, so there's no shadows. And in the fifth dimension, which is where that's appropriate, okay, that's cool. I want to get there. But, like, I'm really learning that, and here's the paradox. It's by addressing my shadows in this dimension, which they clearly exist, from the point of view that says, you know, it has value. Because I think the biggest misconception going on is people not understanding the dark night of the soul for the value it has. Like we were saying, true healing comes from a flush. It doesn't come from compacting the wound and all its, you know, if a wound is pussy and infected, you got to get it out. You got to get it out. If you keep packing it down and then it eventually gets a scab over it, you're going to get infected throughout the inside of the body. Okay, granted, you can't see it, but it's not healed. That's just, you know, I think the biggest part and the biggest challenge in our change is understanding our belief systems they're not true to what we've been taught. You know, everything kind of seems pretty much upside down. You know, like everything.
Like you, I listen to people. You look at the paradigm of Western medicine. You know, it's take, if you have the flu or you have the cold, you take something to mask the symptoms of the cold.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you, if you, you, the battle of this, and we need to destroy that, and we need to destroy this, and it's, and so you're given a medicine that destroys this particular organism, but we don't stop to investigate, but what's the impact of that medicine on the whole system? And it's like, well, we don't care about the whole system. We need to kill this particular organism.
That's so crazy.
It's like,
yeah,
but you're not
so
looking
ignorant
at it from a holistic perspective. And right, and so it just, it, once you cross that line into looking at things holistically and you're looking at the relationships between things, it's hard to go back to that old paradigm of, you know, kill this and destroy this, and I'm only looking at this in isolation, so I'm not concerned about all that over there. It's like, but you can't anymore. You just can't. You know, an earthquake and a tsunami in Japan that impacts their nuclear power plant and releases radiation into the water and the atmosphere, and you think, well, that's on the other side of the world. It's like, no, we're connected. That radiation
yeah, right
is
on.
Going to go where it's naturally going to go, and you just can't think, because it's over there, it's not my problem.
Yeah, that is right on.
You know,
that
I'm in Washington, D.C., so, you know, the laws that some of these states are passing that are just crazy in Arizona and Florida don't impact me. Well, yes, it does, because just because we're separated by imaginary lines into states doesn't mean we're not connected. We are still connected. We are still connected. Sometimes
well,
I rant, and I'm not sure what I'm saying.
No, me too. Me too. I love you for saying you. It's the energy, though. Isn't that the energy of today? I mean, it's what our shows turn into. I mean, but I'll tell you, there's a trust. I trust that everything we're saying, because I believe, especially with you, Anthony, I mean, you're really connected to the understanding of that. You talk to a bigger field that might just be literally just in front of you, especially when you're on the air. And you know, all my peeps love you. So trust that whatever you're saying, it really is going directly to somebody who's asking the question, and you're just answering it.
Oh,
you know,
okay,
even
good.
Though you didn't hear it. Yeah. Because, well, and it's so interesting. The 100th monkey system or whatever, you know, it's already been proven through science that, you know, they fed the monkeys the sweet potatoes, and when some of the monkeys started washing them off, inevitably, all the islands of all the monkeys were washing their sweet potatoes. Now, science proved that, I mean, like, what, 100 years ago? And we still have this belief in us that what happens in Arkansas doesn't affect what happens in Mississippi, what happens in New York doesn't affect what happens in Florida. You know, it's so funny how, again, we just seem so gullible. I mean, I can't think of a better word than that. If, you know, I've heard people say, but I saw it on TV, you know, and I'm like smacking my forehead going, so that makes it true? I mean, are you kidding me? Because, you know, because TV said it, it's true. And because our government says it, it's true. Because medicine, you know, I see that a lot actually with doctors.
Right.
Doctors have, you know, I highly recommend anybody seeing the movie Patch Adams, because it really shows the infrastructure that we are conditioned to believe doctors are gods.
We give a lot of our power over to,
right on, yes,
perceived authorities in the world, and we think the doctors know everything about medicine. Well, they go to school, they learn some things, yes. However, you are to know your body.
Yes.
then you work with the doctor to support you in balancing your body and clearing up what you need to clear up in your body and restoring
right.
whatever you need to do for your body. You are to know your body. The doctor may know medicine. You know your body. And that's an example of I am responsible for my part. The doctor is responsible for their part. And we work together. It's a relationship that happens. And it's the same thing, you know, with ministers and religious leaders. Yes, they can speak a certain way and probably can, you know, pass on some spiritual wisdoms. In my opinion, that's what they should be doing.
Right. I agree.
I have my spirit, and it is for me to develop a relationship of my spirit to the higher spirit. And then that minister is there to support me in nurturing my relationship with spirit, not that I have to go through the minister in order to get to God. No. It's me and God and God and I, and the minister is there to support that and to support me in that relationship with God, versus what so many people are doing is they turn all that power over to the minister. And so they have to have a minister or religious leader there before they can feel they're connected to God. I'm like, no. And then when I'm doing sermons, I'll tell people, don't believe it because it's coming out of my mouth.
Right on.
Take it, try it. If it works for you, it becomes your truth.
Right.
You know, you go sit down and be in connection with the universe and with one and the energy and find out what works for you. But don't believe it because I said, because y'all know I'm crazy. So don't believe me.
Well, I resonate with your crazy. I do. I remember when I first went to Unity after my mom died. Because it was obvious to me that the way I was going to heal and the way my father and my brother were going to heal, we were all, she was the hub in our family. And when she left, we were toxic for each other. I mean, my father was like, go to work. Because that's what my father would do.
Right.
That's, his passion was his engineering, and that's where he's always found his pleasure, per se, in life. But for me, I couldn't. I had to actually stop working and process the pain, because my mother leaving me was just, there was great fear involved. And I remember when I went to the Unity Church, I felt this like, wow, I'm going to a church. I mean, I remember feeling that conditioning of, you know, there's a minister, and because I had never resonated with anything religious. I was bat mitzvahed as a kid, but because they forced me to, not because I was like, hey, can I go to temple? that just wasn't my gig. And I remember there was a conflict at one point. I was doing a book group at my house, and, you know, I know this is, you're going to find this shocking, but I pissed somebody off, and they punched me. It was a female. They punched me in my chin. It was like a 70-year-old feisty woman. I mean, this woman was feisty, and she punched me in my chin, and I was not going to hit a 70-year-old woman back, but it became this big thing in the church. I mean, because I just basically said, all right, everybody get the hell out of my house. You guys are gone. Just get out. This party's over.
Right.
And I went to the minister to, I didn't want to be ostracized from the church. You know, I was like, this is going to inevitably turn into, you know, total chaos. And to be honest, the minister went, well, it's not my problem, it's yours. And I remember feeling this great, like, what? You know, don't ministers make things better? It was so funny how I could feel the whole conditioning, because it ended up being, of course, you know, I have found some of the greatest lessons I've learned in life are when people don't do things for me, but that I am on some level, you know, asked by the universe, deal with this yourself, clear this yourself. Now, what you just said, Anthony, is brilliant. It is about the support of sovereignty. That's what you're supporting. I didn't get the support of sovereignty, but I got it basically by, and this is where I tell people there's perspectives. The soul will sometimes pull your support system out because you're leaning too much on the system to do the work for you. And then once, and I found this out, in fact, I just said this to Janine today, when I went to the woods yesterday and when I called Janine on the phone in the midst of this hyper crazy caffeine wild ride I was on, it reminded me a lot of when I was on coke and how I would get paranoid and, you know, very anxious. And of course, when you're doing coke, most of your friends are doing coke, so there's really not a whole lot of, you know, centered, balanced people you can go to. And yet yesterday's caffeine trip definitely felt like a coke experience. But the truth is, now I have the sovereignty of nature. Now I have Janine, who never tries to talk me out of where I'm at, but very similar to what you just said, just supports me, saying, okay, you know, eat something, flush yourself, go sit in nature. You know, it's okay. Goldie, this will pass. You know, just a support system. But it's never, you know, there's a delicate balance to support, because support allows the experience, understanding there's value to the experience.
Yes.
But also supports that within you have all the properties and all the understanding or whatever, the energy, the frequencies necessary, you're going to get through it. You're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. And it was, you know, I mean, it was such a, like, I told her it felt like it's an interesting thing to have the same experience with the emotional, you know, memory stamp, and yet everything was so different for me because of the support that it's support that I believe is in my life, because I'm ready to support my own life. It is, because I knew to go to the woods. I mean, I knew that almost. It's like, okay, everything just became unimportant. I got to get to the woods because it has a magical power that if you're tangled up in a loop of thinking, if you're tangled up in fear and paranoia, in anxiety and stress, I don't know how it's done, but I know it's done, and it's done in nature. And, you know, that is the support that I have found allows me to be the support for others. You know,
I agree. For me, it's, I got to walk in nature, get me to a tree, get me to the ocean, get me to a river, a stream, flowing water. And I don't have to do anything but get there.
Exactly.
That's all I have to do is get there. And the universe, through nature, you know, rights my wrong, so to speak. Not that anything is right or wrong, but it makes...
Correct.
It's like, oh, you know, they go in and do the chiropractic way of adjusting my... this, and they do their own way of massage and their own Reiki,
yeah,
and their own healing, and I walk out of there, you know, eyes, I can see further, I can see clearer, I can feel the energy flowing through my body. It's like, whoa, you know, I need to remember that. Some people, they don't have that connection with nature. For them, they go into a book.
Right.
Focusing in on reading, then it gets their mind off of whatever they were thinking about, and then the body naturally makes the adjustments that it needs. So for some people, it's a book. For some people, it's music. But it's like you have to find your heaven. You have
to find
your medicine that works for you, that really, really works for you. One of the places, when I was in New Mexico and was walking out in the deserts around Albuquerque, 95, 97 degrees, I'm walking around in jeans and feeling so alive. And I don't think I had ever felt that alive before. And then in Maryland, there's a mountain not too far from D.C., about 30 miles from D.C., and I went to the top of the mountain and felt so connected. to the point where I was walking on one of the marked trails, and before I know it, I was off the trail. I don't know where I was.
Nice.
And and to a point where, you know, I stopped by a tree, and, you know, three deers walked by, and they didn't even notice me for a while until I took a breath in and they heard it. And then I realized, okay, there are timber rattlesnakes around here, too. I need to get back to it.
Okay. Right on, right on.
Oh, you know, we all have to find our medicine.
Right.
You know, find right. your medicine, whatever it is, that brings a sense of peace and balance and restoration of your spirit. Find your medicine, whatever that is.
Well, and to even know that it's there is medicine out there other than, you know, what you go to a pharmacy for. You know, it's because,
yeah.
you know, it makes me laugh when I guess there's these new places called green pharmacies.
Oh.
Which they're essentially, I think, they're marijuana
okay.
stores.
Right, right.
You know, and it's becoming medicinal medicine. And,
yeah.
you know, and you know, I mean, I always say that, you know, it was funny because I was talking to a girlfriend of mine. I was like, oh, medical, pharmaceutical marijuana. And, you know, definitely perked Goldie's ears up. And I went, but it has always felt to me like, you know, how can the government come in and say, you know, because I know hemp is like this really magical plant. You know,
yeah.
you can, it grows quickly. It can be created and recreated into ropes and threads and papers. And, you know, so it grows like a weed. It has tremendous versatility. You know, and the government goes, no, we can't grow hemp, quote unquote, because it looks like pot. So let's cut down redwood trees, you know, to make daily newspapers that are going to have, you know, be thrown in the trash. You know, I was, this is where, for me, I get that fire gets going in me going, you know, it just seems that it's, you know, there's a line in a Jim Morrison song, you've got the guns, we've got the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it there's a fascinating experience waking up and watching the rest of the world or a majority of the world still be asleep. It's a fascinating experience. I always say the only reason why I'm waking up now is because it's time for me. The game is coming to a close.
Okay.
And so that comforts me because it is challenging. It's challenging to be asleep, but it is. There is also, you know, that pendulum swings on the other end. It's also challenging to be awake in an asleep culture. You know, that is, that has its challenges. And, you know, part of the challenge is you want to walk around and shake people and go, get up, come on, what are you doing? Stop smoking that cigarette going, it feels so good. You know, I mean, like, there's something to that.
Huh? Conversation on Saturday, and I was in a meeting, and I was telling somebody about it, you know, a couple of days later, and they asked me, how did it feel to talk to people who couldn't hear you?
Mm.
They couldn't hear you. They couldn't
mm-hmm.
hear from the consciousness that you were speaking. They could only hear from their own level of awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And when they said that, I thought, that probably will explain why I was so frustrated in the meeting.
Right.
Because they were responding. I'm like, that's not what I'm saying. And as I think back, there were times when Spirit was saying, they're not hearing you.
Mm-hmm.
But I was focused on them hearing me because we were at the table together. And, you know, they are going to hear me. It's like, they can't hear you from which you speak. And,
mm-hmm.
and you know, it speaks to what you're talking about. When you start to wake up, when you start to become conscious, when you start to say there's more going on here than what they're telling me, it can be challenging to have those conversations with people who go, you're out of your mind. You don't know what you're talking about. The government won't lie to me. Big business won't lie to me. And the other. And you go, at some point, I just smile and walk away. And also, I've had students who said, you know, I want to learn how to see, or I want to learn how to hear like you hear. And I would say, well, you have the capacity. Everyone does. But understand, when you make that conscious choice to embark on your spiritual journey, and you want to open up your eyes beyond the physical and open up your ears beyond the physical, you don't get a choice to hear just the good stuff. You don't get a choice only to see the good stuff. You are opening yourself, or you're making yourself available to hear and to see. And you're going to hear, and you're going to see, and you're going to feel.
Yeah.
It's not about, oh, I only want to hear the good music. Or you're going to hear some music that you go, this is screeching and hurting my ears. So be careful about thinking that you want to become a spiritual person and think that you can escape your physical journey. And that's what I hear a lot of people, they want to escape. It's like you can't.
You know, in 96, when I first declared verbally out loud, I will ascend, it was all about the escape. I mean, put me on the clouds, because the awakening usually comes from your life is so messed up. You're in so much denial and pain that you surrender and go, okay, you know, how do I get out of this?
Yes.
And then what's so funny is, and then you go through the ascension or the awakening, and you go deeper into the darkness and deeper into the pain. And I swear, if I knew that, I don't know that I would have done it. But again, you know, I'm starting to recognize that it's not even me doing this from the personality. It's not the personality of Golden Hawk. Because I have come to most of my conclusions where I sit in 2012, that it literally came from, I could deny it no more. You know, it's like, my latest visual of my life is, my soul is like corkscrewing my body into the space that it wants me to be in. It is beyond my control, but I have surrendered that I trust my soul to put me exactly where I choose to be from my soul's perspective. And the pain is really only the resistance coming from the ego that still wants, you know, to be married to, you know, one of the people from Walt Disney, one of the characters from Walt Disney, and, you know, have 2.5 children. I'm not quite sure where the 0.5 comes in, but, you know, that's what I want. And, you know, and a couple of cars in the driveway, and you know, and I walk around like Snow White in eternal bliss. You know, that's, you know, and then, of course, the soul corkscrews me and goes, you know, it's going to be more like a, you know, paranormal show. You know, it's gonna be much more, you know, dark and painful. But again, you know, how is a diamond formed? A diamond is formed through time, heat, and pressure. You know, you start really getting, again, nature starts showing us why we're going through all these things. You know, that there is a point to it, and because it's an interesting thing how. Simon just wrote in the chat room, good stuff, Anthony. He likes
how are
sharing.
You?
Yeah, Simon lives in Norway, so he doesn't call anybody, but, you know, feel free, Simon, if you say anything, you know, I'll relate it. because I think it's important for people that are, you know, that have, you know, myself included, and who have been on the journey for a while, to understand there is a difference between the pain that comes from unconsciousness and the pain that comes from consciously working through the stuff that's coming up to be healed.
I agree. I agree. I'm remembering This past Sunday, when I was preaching, giving a sermon, talk, whatever you want to call it,
mm-hmm.
I was guided to tell somebody. I was speaking directly to one person in the group, but it was for whoever was ready to hear it. It's like whatever in your world pisses you off the most or frightens you the most or that thing you are terrified of doing or terrified of experiencing or some, you know, trauma in your world, whatever it is that just shakes you to your core, that mm-hmm. is the thing that you are going to have to go through to get to your greatest blessing.
Right on.
The greatest gift. It's on
yeah.
the other side of that lies the biggest, brightest, most boldest, most beautiful blessing your heart will ever receive when you consciously choose to go through that.
Mm-hmm.
And the once you consciously choose to go through it, the going through it is the easier part. It's making the decision or making the choice to go through it. Well, whatever frightens you the most or whatever, and I said this, it's like whatever pisses you off to the highest of pissivity, through that door is your greatest gift.
Right
your
on.
Greatest gift. And it's
you
like,
know what's, oh, that's so brilliant. Listen, right now I'm staring at this magnet, and I kept looking at this. I go, I don't know what this is supposed to mean.
Uh-huh.
The words say decision power.
Decision, yeah. I love
decision
that.
Power. it's just a magnet that came off of Scott's refrigerator. But that is, because you're right. See, once the decision's made, then all the support can come to support that decision.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm talking about the non-physical support. You know, I'm talking about energies and frequencies and aspects of self, you know, that, you know, I don't know how it works. I surrender to saying I know how the intelligence of the cosmos works. I don't.
But I know
it's reliable.
Yeah, a lot of people have said, well, it's the law of attraction. And my response to that is, I'm not saying it's not the law of attraction, but any
time. Oh. Anthony, come back! Ann, I don't know if you can hear me, but we can't hear you. Call back. Call back, babe. Aunt, I don't know if you can hear me, because everybody send out signal to Anthony. We can't hear you, babe. God, he had such a... He was on a roll. I want to hear what he has to say. Thanks, Doris. All right, everybody, simultaneously... Anthony, call back. Or, Anthony, we can't hear you. See, he doesn't have a chat room going, so I don't think he even knows. I don't know. I could hang up on him. All right. Should I hang up? Ant. Okay. I hung up on him. In love, of course. In love. So, right on. You know, I just want to let everybody know, I was going to make the announcement at the end of the show, but the job I was waiting for, Kelly, Janine, she emailed me during the show. She's got a second interview on Monday. She wants me to stay with the baby for like 8 hours. Oh, somebody's on. Somebody's calling. Hi, area code 423, you're on the air.
Hi, let me take you off speakerphone here. So, sorry about that. Hi, my name
no
is
problem.
Barry, and I'm from Tennessee.
Okay.
And for some reason I don't know, I mean, obviously everything happens for a reason, you know, that old cliche, but I was drawn to you guys' show.
Okay.
And this is the first time I've listened. I just called the first couple of minutes, or the last couple of minutes, I should say, but I wanted to kind of tell just a little bit about what's going on with me and see if you can kind of shed some light on it, if you don't mind.
No, actually, I just lost my guest, so this is beautiful
okay.
timing for me as well.
I guess I have good timing, too. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Right on, right
Well,
okay.
All right, well, here's the deal. I was deployed 5 times over to Iraq and Afghanistan in a Ranger regiment. I was actually originally attached to support battalion, which I didn't think I was going to have to do much as a cook. But obviously I never touched a frying pan or cooked anything for anybody because they outsource all of that to the Iraqi people, that need jobs and things like that. Now, Afghanistan is a completely different situation where it was just, you know, I was in the Ranger regiment when I went over there a couple of times where we got dropped off in some really hairy spots. That's about as comfortable as I feel talking about that kind of thing. But anyway, you know, when I got hurt, I fell.
Hold that thought. Just one second.
Yes, ma'am.
Anthony, we got you back on the line. We could not hear you, so I couldn't get through to you, so I had to hang up on you.
No, I don't want you to stop.
I'm just letting, and then this gentleman is called in. It definitely feels divine. He wants some clarity with his life. I'm glad you're back on because I think you're just the man to give it to him. So he's just telling us he's been deployed 5 times. He cooks for the Army, and that's all we've gotten to so far. That was what just happened. So, and gentlemen, the caller, what's your name again? Your first name?
Barry.
Barry. Okay, Barry, please continue. And just so happens my guest is he's amazing for helping people understand where they are in their life. So
beautiful,
this really
beautiful.
Is a divine
that,
call. Right
awesome.
On. Right
that,
on.
That's right up my alley. That's kind of what I'm looking for.
Exactly.
I kind of back up a little bit. I'll back up a little bit for him. His name is Anthony, right?
Anthony, correct.
Okay, it's nice to talk to you, Anthony. My name is Barry. Like she was saying, I've been deployed a great deal of times. I was in the Army. I originally was a 92 Golf, which was a job where I was just a cook. I didn't think I was going to be getting into too much. I ended up doing some extra training, and I ended up making it through Ranger School and the Ranger training. So there were a few times where I was deployed in Afghanistan in my Ranger regiment to where I didn't touch a skillet. You know, I didn't cook anything. But at any rate, I got hurt. I fell into a 17-foot ditch in Afghanistan, and that's what brought me home. If I would not have fallen backwards, I think I probably would have gotten hurt severely by a bullet. But at any rate, when I fell, my Kevlar, my cover, I had just loosened my chin strap because of all the sand and it being 120 degrees, you know, was kind of bad timing because it shifted to the left and opened up the right side of my head. And so I ricocheted my head off the ground and also cracked an L5 in my back. This sent me home, obviously, because now it affected the way, my legs are working and also affected me as far as actually having epilepsy now because of the head injury. Mm-hmm. When I came home, now this has only been 3 years ago, so it's still fairly fresh. I didn't enlist until I was 27, so I had a little bit of life under my belt. So as far as the post-traumatic stress and all that stuff that people are dealing with, luckily I'm not having to deal. I deal with it on occasion, but usually I go through a day and don't have to really deal with that too terribly much, which is a blessing. Of course. But at any rate, basically, you know, what has happened since that head injury and having epilepsy and having the seizures, I've had a lot of health problems, of course, over the last, you know, couple, two and a half, 3 years. I've gotten married since then to a lovely person that didn't care that I had a disability, took me for who I am, took me without any money coming in, didn't know if I was going to be getting any money. You know, so I'm very lucky in that aspect as well. I've got support as far as that goes, but spiritual wise, and what's going on with me is very hard to tell her about because I don't want to freak her out. Since the head injury, I've been able to see like auras around people.
Yeah.
colors around people. I've been able to feel energy that I never felt before, and I and experiencing things that I've never experienced in my entire life.
Yeah.
I don't know how to slow this down. I had constantly every 10 or 15 minutes have something approaching me. On days where it seems to be just energized here at my house. And I don't think it's like, I don't consider it a haunting of my house. Okay. No. I don't go that far with it.
No.
I think, what do you think so far? And then I can continue if you need me to.
As you were talking, the first word I heard was cooking. You need to cook.
Okay.
The second thing I heard is wear a white cap, maybe a baseball cap or some type of cap if you can. And if you can,
okay,
make sure it's white.
And I do have one white Army cap that I bought at the Army Navy store, so that's kind of
something
that's
like
right
that,
on.
Your baseball cap, even if it's a visor or
a boggin or something like that, or like a I call them toboggans, but I know that's a sled. But
no, I call it toboggan.
Yeah, don't put a sled on your head.
No, but I mean in Tennessee, for some reason in Tennessee and Georgia they call them toboggans, but basically like a what would you call them, a wool
ball cap.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, I can't even think of the word for it now. You would normally wear it during the weather, you know, during the winter.
Yeah.
No
matter what.
Cap, but whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. Wintertime, if you can, make sure it's white. Summertime, baseball
okay.
caps, the sun visors that golfers wear. When you can,
right.
Wear a white cap. That will help.
Okay.
Help slow the energy coming in so fast.
Okay.
And it helped with the balance.
Is there any reason why, can you further explain it why that would help? I mean, so I can kind of understand? Or is that just something that you feel that would help? I mean, just as out of what you're hearing from me.
It's what what my guardian angels are telling me. They said, tell them wear a white
okay.
cap. Wear a white cap.
Okay. Okay. That's
and,
not
and
a problem.
Notice,
I can definitely do that.
As you do that, just notice if it seems to slow down, if it seems to lessen the intensity. Just notice what it feels like when you wear the white cap when you can. White cap, white hat, you know, whatever.
Okay.
The other thing they said about the cooking is if you can get back into the cooking is because the energy by which you will use as you cook. Now, see, some people cook, and you can get four people to cook the same recipe, and three of those dishes will taste, the same. But that
right.
one person, you eat their food, and there's something almost magical about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because they seem to cook with love, or they cook with a positive energy.
Oh, wow.
And so they're saying you need to get back into cooking.
Yeah. When I have had the energy and felt up to cooking for my wife, that is so amazing that you said that, because that's what she has – that's the exact comment.
It's something about
–
what do you do? What kind of – you use a special spice or what do you do?
Well, it depends. It really depends on what I'm cooking. Of course.
That's the conversation that people will say. I know what's
right,
going on.
Right. And she doesn't. I haven't released my secrets to my wife yet. You know, we've only been married a little over 2 years, so I haven't released my secrets to her. I mean, when I cook, she just kind of chills out, and she's a school teacher, and I'm disabled. Of course, I'm at home all the time. So, when she gets home, if I have something prepared for her, she can smell it, and she'll, big smile will come over her face. And she said, "Did you cook with love today?"
Then she knows.
And that's
your
amazing
secret.
That you said that. That's
she
amazing that you said that, because she says that.
Yeah.
She said, I'm dead honest with you. She says that every time.
Yes.
Now there's days there, like today, I feel pretty good. There's days where I do not feel like I can do what I need to do just because of the epilepsy, you know, due to, you know, and some other things that cause, because of the seizures, I have optical nerve damage. So sometimes, you know, my eyesight comes and goes, literally almost to black, at some times. And it's really scary because I'm afraid it's going to stick that way at one point, but I was assured by, that's exactly what I was about to say. I was assured by even the neurologist who, you know, you hit or miss with those guys because they don't know, they're in a field where they know 20% of our brain.
Right.
You know, so they're guessing a lot of times. And epilepsy is a diagnosis of last diagnosis because you can't figure out exactly what else is going on.
Right.
So they say you have epilepsy and you're having seizures, so you're epileptic. They don't really diagnose it down to a specific level or even deeper than that, which I think they should.
They don't have the capacity just yet
to do that. Right, right.
Here's
two things, you know,
two more things for you.
Yeah.
Number one, if this feels okay for you, I try to guide people into not saying, you know, I have a particular, you know, disability or diagnosis, but use the words I am experiencing. My body is experiencing.
Okay.
It changes your consciousness because then you're experiencing epilepsy rather than I have it.
Mm-hmm.
If that feels okay for you.
It does, actually, now that I even just run it through my head a couple of times.
My
thought process. Yeah, it makes things seem more manageable for some reason.
And here's the second thing. How creative are you? Are you an artist?
I am ambidextrous. I've been playing music since I was four. You put anything in front of me, I can learn it without having sheet music.
Because sometimes, and I have no scientific data to support this. I am not a doctor. I don't even know any studies that would support this. But I sense that sometimes what we call epilepsy is more energy coming in than can be processed at that time.
Right.
And so finding a creative outlet for the energy could support the experiences not as severe. And something that would allow for using color. So drawing with crayons and colored pencils or watercolors or something.
Right. Right.
Just and the whole intent is just to allow the energy to be expressed on paper.
Okay. That's definitely something I'd be willing to try, and I mean that's not something that's completely beyond me. I mean, as far as I think that's silly or whatever. You know, I would definitely try it.
And you might be surprised at what shows up on the paper.
Right.
And I say that because sometimes, and this is no way equivalent to epilepsy or anything like that, but sometimes when I get up in the middle of the night and I just can't sleep and I just can't get back to sleep, I have to pull out my crayons and colored markers and colored pencils and just doodle. And I'll do it 45 minutes until whatever energy has been dissipated, and then I can go to sleep again.
Okay.
Come back and I look at. I'm going. In fact, today I was looking at an old sketch pad I had, and I looked at something that I drew like 8-9 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened. I looked at. I'm like, that came in 8 months ago. It happens to be a picture on my Facebook page.
Oh wow!
That I just put up there.
Wow.
Maybe a month ago. And I went, and I thought when I put it on my Facebook page a month ago that it was something new.
Right.
But I drew it maybe 8, 9, 10 months ago.
Wow.
So,
wow.
So
that's amazing.
You know, see, you know, again, the white cap
right.
when you can, you know, okay. whatever season you're in. Cooking, and you already know that. Your wife, she's giving you confirmation on that. Did you cook with love?
Yeah, it's definitely not horrible, but it's not the best. I don't want to say it's the best in the world, but it's definitely not, you know, it's feasable. I think she would lift her nose up at it. She's a pretty strong-willed woman,
right.
and having, you know, a lot of degrees, very smart, can't pull anything past her, already tried, doesn't work. You know,
so the cooking,
you know,
the white hat, and
right.
some type of drawing, painting, doodling, but some type of
okay.
creative expression with the intent of allowing the energy to be expressed on the paper.
Okay, and you said that this, like you, when you did, now I have a lot of trouble sleeping myself.
Call it your sleep sketch pad.
Right, and so yeah, exactly. That's what I was about. You know, I was kind of thinking this along the same lines. Hold on, one of my puppies is wanting to bite my leg off here. I'm sorry. Go away, little
girl.
Hey,
Ann, can I chime in for a sec?
Yeah,
sure.
Because I just want to let you know that you know, the information that you're asking about,
sure.
you know, the spiritual aspects, spiritual answers don't come from the left side of your brain. So it's, you know, it's not going to come from your logic. It's not going to come from your reasoning. The tools we use in spirituality are imagination, creativity, spontaneity. So it really does, you have to allow to introduce these new philosophies as, like, kind of what you just said. You know, your wife was already commenting on your cooking being with love, and then Anthony gives you physical things, you know, put on the cap, do the drawing, do the cooking. But
right.
you're already starting to see the brain is starting to work from a full functioning point of view, which
yeah.
is so funny, because
right.
epilepsy is about using both sides of your brain. And literally electrically going, wake up, both sides, it's time. And I find
yeah.
all the time people who have been diagnosed bipolar, schizophrenic, multiple personalities, often what they are really going through is spiritual awakenings that
awakening.
The medical community doesn't really, they just kind of put them all under this one diagnosis when,
yeah.
you know, that's to call into a show like mine on a day like today, all I do is promote that, you know, it's not, you know, when Anthony said, you know, you don't have, God, my brain, I can't seem to hold memories today, epilepsy, that you're experiencing it, because, you know, there will be potential meditation groups or groups of people that this leads you to, by, you know, attraction to find, that you're going to recognize that you're just becoming a conduit for messages that are coming from other radio waves, not ABC, NBC, and CBS. I mean, other beings that, you know, you might now have the frequency to communicate with, and you're going to find that
right.
nobody calls that epilepsy. People call that channeling and connecting.
Right,
and,
right. And that's what that was another thing I was wondering about, because I have talked to only one other person about this, and they said, you have got, because of the head injury, more than likely you have got some gifts that have opened up.
Yep,
right.
To where, and the person said that exact word, channeling, and said, you need to work with somebody on this if you really want to use it to your advantage.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just going to be bombarded with energies that
yeah.
are going to come to you or be attracted to you.
Yeah.
And that's scary to me, because I'm not used to it.
It's increased in the last couple of months.
And that's the difference between someone who recognizes that something is going on and they seek out support, and people who try
yes.
to deal with it on their own. Because
and I'm yeah, this is nothing I can deal with on my own.
No.
This is brand new. This is nothing I want to deal with on my own.
Wise man.
I don't. Yeah,
you're a wise
you know
man.
I. Well, you know, I don't. It can become very confusing. As you probably know, it can become okay. Well, what did that mean? What exactly was that?
Yeah.
Like today, for example, I can get. I mean, and I don't want to take all of your show here, but I
we're gonna have to call it soon. So go ahead, but you can
share
one more story.
Let me at least say this of what happened today, and then I'll let you guys, you know, just say what you want to say, and I'll let you guys go. And it'll, I have to get this out because this happened today, and it was two things. I did not have any – there was no traffic on the road. There's hardly any traffic where we live. We live in the middle of Tennessee, in the middle of the Cumberland Mountains, so we don't have a lot of traffic except for log trucks. And they normally don't have train whistles on their trucks, right?
Right.
Well, I heard a train whistle in my house.
Yep.
That goes back to my grandmom and granddad, where they grew – my dad grew up in a little town called Bogart, Georgia, which is right outside of Athens, Georgia. And it's the last little town that you used to have to go through before they built a bypass to get to Athens. And there was a train that would come by almost every day, and I loved going down there to hear the train.
Yeah.
And I was extremely excited when I would hear that whistle. And so it was very significant to me, and I was thinking about it, and I was thinking, well, maybe that's grandmom and granddad or one of the two letting me know that they're looking after me, or they're checking on me in some way.
I would
and
go
then
with
the
that.
Second,
until,
does that sound feasible?
I would go with that.
Does that sound feasible?
Yes.
Okay.
I have a friend
too,
when we are together, he used to work for me, and when we're together, and all of a sudden I smell roses.
Mm-hmm.
I would look at him and go, "Your mother's present." He goes, "Yes, I can feel her."
Right on.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah, I can smell
thing.
My mom's perfume, too.
Yeah.
Listen, I want to share with you something because your energy is very, I can tell you're excited. And
I am.
I can tell. and with
do,
your
do,
military.
Do I need to calm down, though, for it to slow
little,
down?
Well,
do I need to calm down?
You,
drink
well,
the
you
water.
Want to find the balance. The key is to be in balance because it's understandable that it's exciting, it's new, it's scary, but it's also exciting and it's new. I mean, what you want to do is you gotta utilize in the world of what's going on inside of you. And I know this from my own experiences of having to slow down. Being still and being quiet are incredible
mm-hmm.
tools when things are moving very fast inside of you. You know, when changes are happening, you know, quicker
right.
than maybe we're prepared for, the way to counter the change is stillness and quiet. Because
okay.
the kind of tips that Anthony gave you, it's like, okay, so, you know, it reminds me of an Eckhart Tolle, actually, is a brilliant man who speaks about stillness and quiet, if you want to, you know, look into him. But like
sure.
the tips that Anthony gave you, those are answers that you actually have to now experience putting on the white cap. You have to experience it's you can't get answers that are going to bring you necessarily to the place where you're going to feel it balanced. Now it's your responsibility to you got to go through the experiences to know that what Anthony said has validity. The talking
right.
is not going to get you there at this point. The
right,
experiencing
right, right.
of it is going to get.
Right.
Well, it's not
and
a doing because it's a lack of doing. This is
right.
different than. There's paradoxes at play now
it
because you're
sense.
Dealing with the inside, not the outside.
Right.
Yeah. There's a.
Right.
There's
and
a
that,
lot of opposites.
Totally, that really it does make sense. It does. It really does make sense. You know, this. And I will, and I am going to try all of those. And next time you guys have a show, maybe I could call back in and try to let you know what happened, or at least email
well,
you,
no.
or just
yeah,
put it on the
no,
chat
totally.
Room or something.
Well, my
Anthony,
you is,
give your information too. Where you know, I definitely, and I'll give him show information. But you, I want him to. He should definitely read the conversations with the elders. I mean, I think that would assist him greatly.
It will help. It will help.
Okay.
Do you have email address?
I do, and I can give that to you. That's not a problem. Before I do that, before I go let you guys go and give you my information, I was going to let you know the second thing that went on today, it happened about 10 times. I felt like something just went right through me.
Yep.
Like something rushed right through me, and I don't want to compare it to any ghost hunter stuff on TV or anything like that, because it's ratings money, blah, 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 and overreactions for ratings, and I mean, as much as I love watching those shows, because they are kind of ridiculous at some points, I do want to say that I experienced at least 9 or 10 times today something going, and this is all I can. This is all I can really convert it to as far as my thought process. When it's like, it's not a cold, it's not like opening a freezer, it's not a cold blast of air, it's energy going through me and making hair stand up on my arms.
Like a bird?
Right on, that is exactly what it is.
Was it like a bird
flying
for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's making me go, ooh, da, da, da.
Yeah.
You know, like that. I know that sounds crazy, but it is. I mean, that's what I do, and almost have like a tick.
Yeah.
You know, like my head always goes to the right.
Yeah.
And when it happens, and I go, well, what the heck was that?
Well,
and then 10 minutes later it happens again, and then 10 minutes later it happens again, and I'm going, okay, slow
down.
Okay,
take a breath. Take a breath. Yeah, this is breathing.
Sorry.
Is because but in general, when this is happening, because you're
right.
Going to find that the simple answers, taking a breath, being still. Listening and not speaking. I know, and I'm not trying to come off as, you know, the parent scolding you. That's not what I'm...
These
are the tools...
Way.
Okay, I'm glad.
Uh-huh.
These are the tools for the world of within. Because
mm-hmm.
what's opening up is your world within. And by the way, the world within is bigger than our cosmos. I mean, there's... It's a vastness. So there's... It's just, it's different than the conditioning, and, you know, clearly the military, I would think on some level conditions you to be aware, you know, of your surroundings.
Especially
okay,
the extra
training.
Okay,
so you're going to apply those things. Yeah, you're going to apply.
Right.
This is, I mean, it's not that it's combat, but it's almost like, see, that was your soul preparing you for this part of the experiences going on in your life. Because a lot of
right.
the same... A lot of those tools will apply now, and you'd say that might not apply, you know, in civilian life, but it will definitely apply in spiritual civilian life.
Right.
Definitely.
Right. Right. And I agree. I completely. That is right on the level. That's right. I mean, that is exactly what, not what I necessarily am needing to hear, but it actually is what I need to hear. It wasn't what I was expecting to hear, but it's what
right.
I need to hear. And you
right.
know, if I'm coming across the wrong way, I'm kind of getting backwards.
No,
here.
You're fine. You're just hyper, and I can feel it because it's making me hyper. That coffee feeling.
Yeah,
back.
I'm just and it's
okay.
Nothing. It doesn't have anything to do with anything else. I haven't had any coffee today. I don't usually drink it because it may. I mean, you can imagine me drinking a cup of coffee. I'm super freaking, fired up. It's just a part of my possibility.
Yeah.
It's a part of my personality is just to be, if when I'm feeling well, I'm energetic.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
I come across almost a little overbearing sometimes with, especially being around my wife, she has to punch me in the stomach and say, hey, shut up. You know, and it's...
I love her.
Well, now you have Spirit will be doing that as well. It won't just be your wife.
Very strong person.
Okay, well, Anthony is going to close this. You know, you're very welcome. You're very welcome. But, Anthony, I want you to give some closing statements, and then I'm just going to put you on hold. You're welcome to listen.
Absolutely.
We're going to, because we got 10 more minutes, and then we're going to wrap up the
okay.
show. So,
Thank you again, guys. Anthony, I really appreciate it.
Only thing I wanted to say to you is if you are open to it, we can continue the conversation via email. Because one of the things that is very, very important that many people who are experiencing what you're experiencing in terms of opening themselves up and becoming much more aware of the energies is having mentor, friend, community, somebody to talk to. Because one of the challenges we face is trying to navigate it alone.
You're right on.
And, you know, in the, you know, way back several, you know, thousands of years ago when we had communities and when people were, the spiritual gifts were coming through, there were elders in the community that would support you in navigating through that growth. And one of the challenges we find in our culture right now is as many more people are becoming aware, waking up, becoming conscious, expanding beyond just the five senses, is making sure that we have some people there who can provide guidance and support and a listening ear and a non-judgmental ear.
I put him on hold just so you know.
If that is something you would want to have, we can exchange email addresses.
Well, because I put him on hold just so you know. Only I was getting hyped from it. It was so funny. It was totally triggering me, the coffee thing. But
oh, yeah,
everybody, I was feeling it. I mean, it was like, it's like, wow, there's definitely energy coming out of him and moving through him.
You empathic people, y'all have to be careful.
Well, no, indeed. And, you know, but it's interesting because, like, my chat room, who is filled right now with most of the people, you know, whom are very close to my heart, they're like, we love this guy. We love this guy.
I know.
He's
like, whoa.
And, yeah, well, and how funny how we were just talking about it, Aunt. You know, I mean, if you would have told me earlier in the show a guy from the military is going to call in and have some spiritual questions, I would have went, oh, get out of here. You know, you can't call the spontaneous. The spontaneous just. And, of course, it happened directly when you went, when your voice went out on the phone. I mean, that was when he called in.
Right.
I just find it, you know, timing is so eloquent. It's so eloquent.
Well, my final words, because I know we're wrapping up. My final words with all of this, because we said a whole lot of stuff, is.
Right on.
You know, as each of us begins to become more aware, expand our consciousness, climb the ladder of ascension, our eyes are opening up, our ears are opening up, and our hearts are opening up, the things we used to do to bring us a sense of balance, we may have to let go and find a new balance, a new way to balance ourselves, to find our new medicine. And that medicine is that thing or things that bring us that sense of peace, that sense of rightness, that sense of okayness for us. And we all have to find it for ourselves. That's it.
Right on. Right on. Now, he gave us his email address. What I'll do is I'm going to copy it, and then I'll email it to you. But
okay,
can you give your email address, too? Do you remember this gentleman's name? I can't hold his name. I'm not holding memories. I apologize.
Call him Bruce.
Bruce? Was that your name?
Barry.
Barry. That was it. Barry. Barry. So, Barry, Anthony's going to give you his email address, but I'll post it. I'll give him yours, but I want you to hear it just in case, you know, something gets lost in cyberspace. So go ahead.
It's Rev Anthony Farmer, REVANTHONYFRMER @yahoo.com. Rev Anthony Farmer, all one word.
Right on. And Barry, just so you know, I do another reality show, but on Monday nights, me and my partner Janine Kimmel do a show called The Mystical Mother Earth Show, where we don't have guests on that show. It's just me and Janine discussing the openings, the awakenings, the awareness, and all the energies and perspectives and awarenesses that come through us. in our space of awakening. And that's at Monday nights at 8 p.m. called the Mystical Mother Earth Show. It's the same thing, though. You can, you know, the call-in number that you called in today, it's the same number. I basically do two radio shows on one blog talk thing. So you're absolutely welcome to check out archives. And speaking with Anthony also channels, and he channels nature. This whole show, which is, you know, we were totally inspired. And when I read the latest conversation with the elders about the winds of change, you know, it was completely supported in this whole episode.
Yes.
You know, with everything, it was pretty amazing, actually. As always. Anthony?
I was being quiet.
On a radio show, that could be dangerous.
Oh, okay, sorry.
No. I just didn't know if we had lost connection again.
Oh, no.
But,
no.
Yeah, right on. So,
right on.
So, you're fabulous, as always. Today was awesome, and during the break when you called back in, just so you know, this wonderful woman who I have been wanting to, she asked me to be her nanny to her son, but she didn't have a job. So it was basically, she had a job and then it fell through, and she's like, well, when I find a job, you know, you can be the nanny. And I'm like, okay, that's great. And some time had gone by, and during our show, she messaged me that she has a second interview, and she wants me to nanny for her son Aiden on Monday, and to say that that's extraordinarily good news for me.
Okay.
I believe that, yeah, to happen while I'm literally on the show with you, talking about, you know, the winds of change, and I'm excited. I'm really excited because this woman is like, she's my dream job. She's my dream job. I've wanted to work with her since we met 3 months ago. And, you know, all fingers and toes crossed. If she gets her job, I get my job. So, you know, it's I'm excited that all this information came in today during the winds of change.
But the elder daughter did a blessing just now.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That is, thank you. Thank you, Elder. Thank you. I love you, Anthony. You know, you're always welcome on the show. My audience and my friends love you.
Cool beans. Hello, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all wowing and call the return of the colorful winds. Yeah, I just really believe that much of our wisdom is shared in the same genre, that it's nature speaks to us.
Yeah.
It hands us very simple answers to, you know, to very chaotic, confusing times. And I know I love you. At some point, I'm going to come see you in D.C. I want to be there for a live sermon and hang out with Anthony. And because we're all East Coasters. Most of us are East Coasters, you know. There's something about the energy on the East Coast. I don't know what it is, but I resonate with it deeply.
And I'm putting it out there to start taping our sermons and services.
That would be awesome.
That's going to be made available to people.
I'll tell you, when you do that, what I would like to do is get a link of your page and put it on another reality show's page.
Okay.
Definitely, because because that's what I mean by you're answering people's questions that you might not even be right in front of you. I've already seen that for you, so that makes total sense.
But the other
reason that's a great
is very selfish, because when I'm up here speaking, I don't know what I'm talking about, so I want to be able to hear what I say.
Yeah, no, having things archived is definitely helpful, even though you'll find it might be harder to hear yourself than you know. I don't listen to my shows. That's where that's coming from. But indeed, I'm interested in your experience of listening to yourself. So, you know, everybody's different. So, okay, one more time, where can people find you?
My email address is revanthonyfarmer@yahoo.com. I'm on Facebook, Anthony Farmer.
Okay.
If you go on that page, you'll see a picture of four eagles on the homepage. And my organization's website is visionsoftheheart.org, all one word.
Right on. Visionsoftheheart.org.
Yeah.
Outstanding. And anotherrealityshow.com, that's my website. My Another Reality Show is we're just doing shows whenever it's divine. And then the Mystical Mother Earth Show every Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And also, if we get, you know, we're driven to do a show during the week, at some point we do it then as well. So everybody, you know, embrace the change. We're all ready for it. Reach out in community, because the community, when you reach out to the community that is going through the change and doing it consciously, they will embrace you back. That's the beauty of doing this consciously. We're all supporting each other going through the change.
Yes.
And it's pretty miraculous.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being here, Anthony. Divine pleasure, always.
Keep up the great work.
Oh, thank you. You as well, and we'll be talking real soon.
All right.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Have a great week. Talk to you soon. Bye. Love you all. Gotta go. Wait. Bye. Sorry. Wrong outro.
You've been experiencing Another Reality Show with Golden Hawk. Another Reality Show is live Thursdays 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, or listen and be enlightened anytime that works for you. Questions or comments? Email the show, goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. That's goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. Also, visit us on the web at www.anotherrealityshow.com. Remember, all you rule breakers, misfits, troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists, everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what is right with you. You see things others don't. You're hardwired to change the world. And unlike 9 out of 10 people, your mind is irrepressible and you were born to be a revolutionary. And here at Another Reality Show, we salute you. Stay amazing and keep on flying. Good night.